Hi, welcome to Ryan Talks Tax, a podcast to keep you up to date on the latest developments in Canadian tax and government funding. I'm Jim Day. In this episode, we're going to continue talking about government funding, but shift our focus a little bit and concentrate on some of the government programs designed specifically to encourage hiring and training. And to answer our questions about these programs, we're joined by Sarah Hipson, a Director of Client Services for Ryan's government funding practice, as well as MentorWorks, a Ryan company that specializes in sourcing Canadian government funding. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Let me ask you just overall, what types of hiring and training programs are out there for Canadian business right now?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, this time of year and sort of we're kind of in Q4 of the calendar, but this time of year, we're starting to plan for next year. And so when we talk about hiring and training, really what we want to focus on is sort of how do we get wage incentives, maybe some tax credits to offset some of those wages as well. And then on top of that, how do we access training programs that actually help you to recoup costs around, you know, really empowering and upskilling your workforce to be able to continue to develop. And that would be where I think we're going to focus most of our time today. And so I don't know if you want to get more specific, but if you want me to, I can jump into some of the more specific categories of hiring grants to get started.
Yeah, that'd be good. Maybe just like, what are the general categories?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So generally when we're talking about it, and I just want to frame this conversation to say that, you know, predominantly we're talking about incentives for Canadian businesses. And so in this case, and in this context, we have two major categories that we see sort of regularly and consistently for hiring wage subsidies. The first one would be for any businesses who are looking to hire co-op students. So those are enrolled students in post-secondary education in Canada. What we often see for those programs is that businesses who are willing to host and or are open to bringing in these types of hires are eligible in most cases for not a bad recovery on their cost or on their wages. And typically those often range in between sort of the 50 to 70% of their salary up to $5,000 to $7,000 per eligible candidate per semester. So not insignificant. And then the nice thing about that one too is that if you're hiring accredited co-op students or students who are coming out of co-op programs from universities or colleges, there's actually a tax incentive as well through the Ontario government in particular, and I'm sure there's others in other provinces, that you can actually stack on top to get up to sort of 30% of that co-op student's wage as well. So, you know, conceivably, you could look at up to about $10,000 per student per semester.
Well, that sounds pretty significant. Are these programs available to all businesses, or are there certain criteria that have to be met?
Great question. So in terms of the co-op specifically, it really depends on the government priorities at the time. So right now, we see sort of a leaning towards manufacturing, food processing or food and beverage processing, maybe some agriculture, tourism type programs. A lot of these categories are sort of suited at this point to sort of coming back from COVID and sort of reinstilling these processes for our post-secondary students to get experience in the industry so that then we can succession plan them into full-time roles post-grad. So that's the intention of these programs, right? Is connecting students from schools to businesses that are doing the work that they want to do and vice versa. We all hear constantly about skills gap. How do we fill that? Well, this is one way that government's trying to encourage that.
Yeah, there's definitely a political element to a lot of these programs, isn't there? Mm-hmm. In fact, in the recent, both the federal and the Ontario fall economic statements, they do tend to highlight some of the ongoing programs and, you know, mm-hmm. if they're adding new funding to particular programs, they're always very quick to point that out. and so it's great that these programs are actually being put in place to meet some of those objectives.
You got it.
Yeah, you mentioned sort of a program related to co-op hiring. But I think some programs take the form of like a hiring assistance, and in other mm-hmm. cases, it's more of a subsidy, mm. isn't it? Like, what's the difference there, or is there a difference? And if so, you know, which one's better?
Great question. So it depends. And it really just comes down to nomenclature. I use wage subsidy sort of replaceably or interchangeably with something like a grant, a tax incentive or a credit. Those things are typically filed through something like your income tax returns or your corporate returns. So it's more of an after the fact looking back type of opportunity. So when I'm looking at those types of things, you know, often you can usually capitalize on both as long as you meet eligibility in both places. So I wouldn't say it's an either or. In most cases, it's an and. And that's something that we see sort of across the board in terms of funding and services provided through the MentorWorks and Ryan teams. We can work really closely together, the service companies in a number of different areas. And, you know, wage subsidies are one of those areas, or hiring grants, whatever you want to call them. They're there to be used. I obviously just am focused a little bit on co-op students, but I don't want to miss out on some of the other areas. Are you okay if I jump into that as well?
Yeah, for sure. But before you do, just to clarify what you just said, because I think a lot of people might not be aware of this fact, but the reality is sometimes you can do both, right? You can take advantage of a grant as well as a subsidy, and perhaps even, you know, certain income tax credits, which of course I'm more familiar with those.
Of course.
And, you know, people, you know, I guess we refer to it as stacking, but you can actually, you know, take advantage of all three in some cases at the same time. But definitely. I think occasionally there are restrictions.
Of course. So typically, you know, one main restriction is you can't double dip, which means basically you're not able to get funding for more than 100% of the cost of, you know, hiring a student, for example. So if you're applying to a bunch of different places for funding, if you're applying for $30,000 for $10,000 worth of expenses to hire this person, that is a clear overstep. And that's a little bit of greediness or ignorance. I'm not sure. It depends. But at the end of the day, we want to make sure, and this is sort of part of the value that our team provides. You know, we've got team members who've been working in and specializing in hiring grant space specifically for a number of years now, who really can take these distinct programs and walk our clients through how to best maximize and optimize the contribution from the different organizations or service providers. You know, and you know, as much as we don't necessarily on the MentorWorks team historically support the tax credit function, we definitely make sure that our clients are aware of them and that they are claiming them when they are part of that process and eligible. So I would say, back to the question, we always want to make sure that our clients are getting the best value. And really what that means is maximizing contribution without, you know, going outside the rules or outside of sort of the bounds of what we're supposed to be doing. And that just keeps us all playing in the same sandbox.
Well, great. Thanks for clarifying that. I do know, you know, from an income tax perspective, if you're taking advantage of, say, the scientific research and experimental development credit, you know, there will be a little bit of a grind on that credit where you've received government funding that pays for some of the salaries and wages that are included in your eligible expenditures amount. So, I mean, that's a really good point, though, that, you know, it's not just one single program. It's all the available programs you can access working together to sort of find that optimal funding pattern.
Sorry to interrupt you there, Jim, but one thing I want to add as well is that government funding is more proactive, or sorry, government grants are more proactive. So when we're trying to achieve grants for clients, we're really looking at what their goals are. And so, you know, and that's a forward-looking process typically, and just the little asterisks there with co-op hiring funding, we've seen recently that there is some flexibility on retroactivity. So to the beginning of the semester that we're currently in. So that's the caveat, but typically, you know, we're not working backwards in grants, we're working forward and we're helping you to plan and be strategic and think out really, how do you want to meet your strategic goals? Does that include hiring? And how do we achieve the most opportunity in terms of offsetting those costs to your company through grants? And when it comes to, like you said, through taxes, obviously there's nuances where there's overlap. And so what we really like to do and what we as a grants practice have sort of started to do with the Ryan Shred team actually is coordinating efforts to make sure that we're identifying areas of overlap in funding. And so say Shred funds at 60%, and this is just an example of stacking, but if Shred funds, you know, wages and contractors and materials at a certain percentage, and your grant covers wages and contractors, we still have materials, and then SHRED also will cover some overhead. So we've still got materials and overhead on the table when you're looking at SHRED. So that's the same thing with hiring grants, right? Typically, wage subsidies are what their name is. They're a wage subsidy, and there's a set amount. You get a percentage of whatever you end up paying that person. But at the end of the day, that's exactly what we want to do, is make sure that A, we're not putting clients at risk by over asking or taking more than a fair share, but then also making sure that they're getting as much as they can to support their projects moving forward.
Okay, yeah, thanks for explaining that. Now, I kind of cut you off earlier. I think you wanted to tell us about some other programs. So please let us know, like, what are some of the best programs for training, hiring, skills development that are out there right now?
Yeah, it's actually quite an interesting time. We've seen, you know, a few different developments on sort of the training side, but to finish up on the hiring side. So co-ops and or sort of enrolled student funding is one thing who are doing placements. The other category that we see often are what we like to call sort of recent grad funding or youth employment type programs, where it again is sort of a wage subsidy to support hiring someone generally post-graduation from a Canadian institution who are under the age of 30, so at the beginning of their career, and who are looking to get into the field that they were studying after their grad. And so essentially these programs can come in a variety of different shapes and forms. Typically they're based on specific industry needs. For example, one we see often is recent grad hiring for STEM grads that are going into clean technology roles. So if you know, that's a program that we see pretty much every year, like clockwork. Typically those open in the spring of a given year, sort of to align with the graduation timelines of your university or college students. And those programs range anywhere from 50 to 80%, from, you know, 14 up to potentially $50,000, depending on industry. And this is not specifically clean tech, but, you know, these kind of youth hiring incentives. And they can sort of like range from 6 to 12 month placements with that company. So at the end of the day, it's really broad. And you might hear me sort of hesitating, but I could literally spend an hour talking about or more about all the different incentives that come and go throughout the year and the different targets and the different specifications. And that really is what makes it really important to sort of, you know, have these kind of connections and these conversations to let businesses and organizations really understand the art of the possible, right? Like, it is timing. Timing's always key, right? Especially for these grad programs. Often they open and they close in a short window of time. And we want to make sure that we're aligning our hiring activities. We're not putting people on payroll roll prior to approval. There's all of these working pieces that are really important to navigate. And so I would say definitely a good use of time there. On top of that, and
yeah, let me stop you right there just for a second. Because I think you made a really good point about the timing. Because one thing I'm learning in talking with all the, you know, our colleagues that work in government funding, is that the timing is very important for these programs. Like,
definitely,
when you apply is key. And that's sort of, you know, a big part of the battle. For example, if you're looking to take advantage of a program for a new hire, say in May or June of this coming year, you really should be looking at your options like right now. Isn't that true?
Yeah, I mean, the labor market, we all kind of have an acute knowledge of where things are at. So depending on your industry, it doesn't hurt to get those recs approved so that you can actually get those hires lined up and get those job descriptions posted. I would say it is, you're right, timing is, it's a delicate dance we have to do. And so I typically start having these conversations with clients in the new year just to say, hey, look, is this on your radar? We do typically see these types of programs open, you know, in the spring, end of Q1, beginning of Q2, typically, and, you know, start thinking about it. If there is something in their business plan to support hires, then we work with them to make sure everything works. And then it's kind of a hurry wait game to make sure we're in line. And then as long as you're communicating with your candidates, just to make sure that they understand whether sort of the waiting game we have to do in those situations, usually it works out really well for clients.
And the other thing with timing is that application windows close, right?
Yeah.
Like you have to, you, you know, you have to make those deadlines really to have a chance to secure the funding.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of them, like so many different programs, all the different jurisdictions in Canada, all these different deadlines. It can be tough. It can be tough to manage that process.
And one thing we also saw, and I think we're all probably pretty sick of talking about this, but the pandemic, the thing that happened over the last 2 years that we all know and felt very strongly, really did disrupt a lot of these cycles and programs and timings, and you know, some for the good and some for the frustrating. And so, you know, part of it is predictability and cycles. We had a pretty much clockwork system where we knew when these things were going to come, we knew how they would look. Over the last couple of years, we've seen sort of stop and go from some of the funding sources. And, you know, it's just been a little bit more, I would say, volatile in some of these areas. But what I've seen in sort of the silver lining that I want to just share is that, you know, we're starting to come back from that. And we're starting to see these funding organizations, specifically in the hiring arenas, you know, be more communicative, be more upfront about what's going on and sort of what their capabilities are. And that allows businesses to plan better and have a better sort of idea of what the opportunity is at hand.
So I guess you're saying be proactive, even if an application or a tax credit might be retroactive.
You got it. If you're my client, you know, I always say, if you're hiring someone, especially if they're youth under the age of 30 or students, let me know before you hire them. Send me a job description and resume, and I can let you know if they're a good fit for anything that's currently available. And, you know, we go from there. And if it's a matter of we have to wait, then they can make that decision. If they need to hire, they do it. And then, you know, we miss that opportunity, but it's the best decision for their business at the time.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about, you know, sort of the types of hires that might be eligible for some of these government programs. Are some of the programs also targeting a particular industry, or, you know, do they target certain regions? And if so, you know, can you give us a couple of examples?
Yeah. So, you know, outside of sort of these programs that I've mentioned for sort of youth supports and sort of those are typically in partnership with sort of the Canadian institutions to make sure that there's a funnel for their students that they're attracting and retaining to get into the workforce. But beyond that, there's also sort of niche or industry specific training programs that you might see to support different types of initiatives. For example, there's sort of agnostic R&D support type programs through a number of organizations federally and provincially, so that you can bring on technical resources into your company to help support on particular innovation projects you might be working on. Those can, you know, range from $60,000 to $80,000 per person per year. And those are pretty significant. So for example, if you want to bring on a postdoc to help in a particular subject matter, to help develop in some research you're working on, you know, there's funding through those categories for up to $60,000 to $80,000 to hire a senior resource like that. In other areas, specifically in the natural products world, we have another program where they'll support you to hire, or a portion of the wage to hire, a technical and senior member of the team to support, again, you know, product development type research and development, very specific kinds of areas of funding to support particular areas of industry. But yeah, definitely, those are definitely where the government tends to align. And that usually comes from your lobbying and industry associations that are really loud and let government know that their membership needs help. And so that's where those generally come from.
Yeah, so definitely some of those programs are targeted to certain areas of the economy.
Yeah, one area too that is worth noting, and I know it's a bit of a top of mind conversation for everyone, but electric vehicles and connected autonomous vehicles, that's kind of where we're seeing a lot of conversation at a lot of different levels of government right now. And so if you're working on development or research projects related to that, there's also funding to support outside of what I've already talked about at a decent sort of funding return to bring on youth as well in technical roles to support those projects. So really, that's, you know, the funding, wage subsidies, depending what you're doing, you're right, there's definitely more fit for some industries, but, you know, agnostically, there's co-op funding and different types of incentives that come and go for almost every business type.
So we've talked a lot about, you know, different programs that are available for hiring. What about training and skills development? Say, what if you're a company, maybe a manufacturer based in Ontario, what are the types of programs that might be available?
Oh, interesting. Okay, yeah. So I know I mentioned trainings. I'm glad you brought it up again, because honestly, I would have forgot to go back there. But thanks, Jim. So in terms of training opportunities, so it's actually interesting you asked that, because we're actually looking at a couple programs that just recently were announced with top-ups. So we're really excited. In particular, there's a program for Ontario manufacturers like you asked that supports 50% up to $100,000 in grant or sort of a non-repayable contribution from the government for manufacturers who are looking to invest in training to support innovation, productivity, adoption of technology, different areas where maybe there's a green or clean technology sort of application to those projects that they're working on. And that program will actually offset the cost of wages as well for the trainees. So it's actually quite a lucrative program, and we're excited that it's open again. No illusions though, quite competitive. So that kind of program is one that we're really excited about.
What's the name of that program?
We refer to it as the Ontario Manufacturing Training Program. Okay. Sometimes the government doesn't always like us to talk about their programs since we aren't them, but that's one area where we definitely see some alignment for Ontario manufacturers. And then on top of that, there were other announcements. Workforce development and labor force gaps is a really, really strong theme that we're hearing from all walks of industry right now. And so the Ontario government, again, and sorry for anyone outside of Ontario tuned in, but the Skills Development Fund just also launched a top-up and a facelift to the program, which really opened up the eligibility to support industry partners who are actively developing and strategizing on how to actually holistically impact the gaps in the workforce. And how do we, close that skills gap? How do we find populations of people who we're not currently tapping into in terms of employability? And how do we get them trained to be able to do the jobs that we need them to do? So that's one area, that program, as well as the Ontario Manufacturing Program, both really good uses if you're doing sort of strategic investments in training and skill development. And then the third program that I want to just mention, that program is definitely accessible across Canada. It's called the Canada Job Grant. A lot of you may be aware of it if you know funding, but the Canada Job Grant, you can find a version of it across the different provinces of Canada, locally administered by provincial governments and or service providers to them. And that program offers 50 all the way up to potentially 83% back of third-party training vendor invoices. So essentially, if you're bringing someone in to do management leadership training or maybe technical skills for your engineering department, upgrade some incremental skill set for them, really it's, that would be eligible. The key here is group training setting. A group of your employees are going to take the same course to get the same outcomes that will then tie into them seeing outcomes that support them becoming a more sophisticated contributor to the workforce of that particular province. There's variations in each province, but ultimately that's the spirit of those programs. That one is open to companies, organizations, not-for-profits across Canada. And I would highly encourage, if you're investing in training, that you look at that program. It's not currently accepting applications everywhere. I know, funding is limited at the end of the fiscal year. However, we're hoping that the new government fiscal will show top ups to those programs as well, so that we can continue to help organizations, develop their employees.
Those sound like very good examples. And it's worth noting that, even though you're using, say, an Ontario example sometimes, that the other provinces and territories have similar programs as well. It's important to keep that in mind. You also definitely mentioned a couple other really important words: competitive and limited. Mm. And I think that it's worth noting that some of these programs are not bottomless, so exactly, they can run out of money. And that's where, sometimes it pays to be, first in line, or at least toward the front of the line, I guess, exactly, when you're applying for some of these programs.
Mm-hmm. It's not like when you're filing taxes, if you've overpaid, you get them back, right? With grants, you really do need to be proactive. You need a strong business case for the contribution. And ultimately, it comes down to, you know, economic benefit or social benefit or whatever that particular program is asking for in terms of the KPI. But that's sort of what we want to focus on. So there is that upfront labor of A, finding it, qualifying it, and then also preparing an application that communicates why the government should support your endeavor. And you need to speak their language, speak their bottom line ROI, why is this important to them? That would be my advice.
Well put. So with all of those different program opportunities floating around out there, what do you recommend, you know, for an organization to be more proactive about its approach to government funding?
Yeah, so I think definitely, you know, understanding what your strategic priorities are as a business, where you want to spend your time and resources, really having that clear picture of, you know, what you want to achieve is really helpful. Because at the end of the day, we can pick apart and piece together sort of distinct funding opportunities for you, but where we really can be dangerous for our clients is when we have a really good look into strategy.
You mean dangerous in a good way, right? Is that?
Oh, yeah, definitely a good way. Yeah, definitely. We can, you know, if we can see a strategy and if, you know, everybody's aligned and we know all of the pieces that are going into getting the company or the organization to where it needs to be, then we can really go in and say, look, here's three different areas where I've got funding opportunities for you immediately. Let's go. So I think it's just about strategy and understanding what your business needs are would be the main thing. And then working with people who know the landscape is also very, very helpful.
Yeah, I think that last point is really a good one because it's tough to apply for something you don't know exists, right? Like it's and really these programs are constantly being introduced and changing and modified. And really it is difficult to stay on top of everything that's going on in the world of Canadian government funding. Mm-hmm. Listen, Sarah, thanks so much for all the great information today. How can listeners learn more about the programs that are available right now and really, what Ryan or MentorWorks can do to help with that?
Yeah, great question and good place to sum this up. So, you know, one of the things that we have as the most powerful tool on the MentorWorks side, I would say, is honestly our website. It's full of incredible content, resources, program information. We've got a program directory where you can actually go in, you know, enter your location for regionality, enter your business type, enter what kind of category of sort of activities you're trying to do, like hiring and training or research, and slice and dice to see what programs actually exist and that you may be able to look at. And that can take you down a bit of a rabbit hole. Or you can do one of our contact forms and just reach out, be connected to somebody like myself who can take you through, you know, a funding discovery call where we sort of lay out and better understand your business and sort of do a bit of a more customized approach. But I would say definitely the website's a huge resource that you could use. We also have a funding updates newsletter that our team pushes out every single week. And in addition to that, when we have new programs that are noteworthy and that we want to make sure that our sort of applicable list of contacts is getting notified about, we also push campaigns that actually outline specific programming that is sort of targeted to your industry and specific areas. So I would say sign up for a newsletter, go to our website, check it out, click around, reach out if you think you see something interesting, and our team would be happy to connect.
Yeah, I've been on that website and there really is a lot of great information there. And I think you said the address, but just so everybody knows it, mentorworks.ca.
Yeah.
And tons of great resources on there. Really,
we're also on social media too. So, you know, we're constantly putting out content for blogs and funding. And if you want to follow up, and I think we've got a bit of a video series on Shred right now. So if you're not aware of Shred, you can learn a little bit through some of those posts and blogs from the website. I would highly encourage you to check it out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great place to start. If you're just thinking about getting into government funding, or maybe you're not sure that you're maximizing, what's available to you, really a great place to start. Thanks again, Sarah.
Oh, thank you, Jim.
It was our pleasure. That concludes this episode of Ryan Talks Tax. For more information about Canadian government funding programs, as Sarah mentioned, check out the MentorWorks website at mentorworks.ca. And please let us know what you think about the podcast. You can send your questions, comments, or suggestions to events@ryan.com. Thanks for listening.